When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back with more Baldi's deliberations today. We're talking about the biggest badass of 2023. Our bullet list has an in memoriam for Carl Weathers and Ray Stevens. So how are we going to do that?
To the top.
And are you worried about
the memoriam?
Are you worried about forgetting to do this some year?
In memoriam stuff.
Or forgetting, I'm sure more badasses than this died. I'm worried that someone's going to be like, well, what about? Because, like, there's not, like, a list of badasses that die each year, you know?
No.
And
we don't have a process for keeping track of it either, so. I'm not super worried about it. We forget about him. But Carl Weathers.
One thing we can do, maybe, is because I think Ray Stevens is going to get pretty high this year. He might make the top five, but like if Carl Weathers would not, maybe we can just give him a shout out as a honorary mention as a departed badass.
Sure.
Mount Rushmore is at half mount today.
Yeah, two out of four faces are displayed.
Yeah. We just put a drop of blue paint in their eyes, so it's when the rain washes it off the mountain, then the mourning period's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're doing to the top or soak 'em, float 'em, sink 'em, drink 'em.
Yep.
Harrison Ford, he's fine where he's at. And that's number
right
one
at the top. Is he a floater or a sinker? We don't know.
Olivier Richter's. He's the big Hulk in Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the Nazi destroyer.
All right.
Ticonderoga class fascist.
Here's the thing. I don't remember him super well from that movie.
He's just big. He's just a big guy. I think that's what we wanted to say. I'm going to Google him. I'm going to Google him real quick.
I think he was like a true monster.
Yeah, he is a big fucking dude. Yeah. Look at these images. Oh my god. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, he is a unit. Man, him running in that suit is like Frankenstein. Frankenstein with a flat top and a fitted suit.
Good lord. Standing next to a reasonable sized human. It's obscene.
Get this man an action series. Come on. Amazon, you got nothing better to do. Got to catch up to Netflix's Extraction. Maybe he can't act. I don't know. Currently at number three, Keanu Reeves. I mean, that's got to go to the top, right?
Yeah, for John Wick, certainly.
Okay. How about Donnie Yen?
Sure, he can go to the top.
Go to the top, all right. Nicholas Hoult at Renfield for number five. I'm fine with him staying there.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez, though, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. I'm saying to the top.
Yeah, why not?
And Chris Pine, also in Dungeons & Dragons.
I'm saying to the top. He's not as much of a badass in that movie.
Chris Pratt, Guardians 3.
I could float him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Dave Bautista, Guardians 3.
He's probably, I don't know, his character's not, I guess you don't have to be smart to be a badass. To the top.
Alright, sure. It's marginal for me.
Yeah, same here.
Vin Diesel and Fast X.
Oh yeah, to the top.
Okay, to the top with Vinny. Are we going to do this for everybody here? Michelle Rodriguez. She's double dipping.
Yeah, she can't
double
dip. I
think Letty can float. But she did have that amazing...
No, I'll put her as like Fast X also. Because she's already there.
Add it to her resume. Yeah. You're right. Adding to the resume. Jason Statham. And here's the thing.
Fast
Jason
X?
Statham, Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron definitely goes to the top just for the duel she has with Letty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I you know, I just want to talk about that a little bit. What do you think? What about Jason? Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. I mean, he's not his most badass role, but it's decent.
It's a weird one, man. Like, his characterization was all over the place.
Yeah, I feel like that's just the story with Jason Momoa. It's like,
yeah,
he's jacked and he seems really personable and cool, but that doesn't really lend itself necessarily to being a huge badass.
I mean, he can be. He's done like really badass roles. It's just like he's kind of a more of a Dwayne Johnson type where he just does goofball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so.
That's fine. Good for him, but it doesn't help him on this list.
All right. So Jason Statham, we sent him to the top. I can't even remember.
I know.
Like,
no. I don't remember him from that movie.
Katie O'Brien for Ant-Man 3.
She's got such a small role.
It's such a small role, but she single-handedly went to the top of my charts for Abby for The Last of Us 2. Now, of course, we're not going to get that version of Abby, but still.
Mm-hmm.
She's on my list, and I'm very much looking forward to... The Driveway Dolls.
Love Lies Bleeding.
Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah, I think she could be a contender in the near future, but not for Ant-Man 3.
I'm thinking she might get full-on like She-Hulk
mm-hmm.
in that movie. Jonathan Majors for Creed 3. Boy.
God damn. He's a badass in that movie, man.
And he's also Kang. And we do have the ruling that like off-the-field behavior does not affect the absolute badass rankings. It's just, here's the problem. This guy could have been an all-time great, and he had all the tools in the tool chest. Like, he's already a star, and it's just,
Can't see it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like, I keep thinking as younger generations start to climb, surely we're going to have the last round of someone thinking that they can do this, that, or the other, not have it destroy their career. Like, how hard is it? But
it's the thing. I think Jonathan Majors outdoes Michael B. Jordan in that movie as far as intensity goes.
I really feel
it from him.
Yeah, he's essentially playing Mike Tyson, mm-hmm. so he's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's got to go to the top. There's no way. And then Michael B. Jordan might draft up there with him.
I think we take him to the top, yeah. We take him to the top. Because Michael B. Jordan, nothing wrong with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
John David Washington for The Creator.
Man. A sci-fi badass.
How did this guy in this movie have barely Scott Pilgrim levels of charisma? I guess you're just deeply conflicted about everything you're doing.
Yeah.
Hard to be like a gung-ho badass when you're
betraying your loved ones.
But even then, man, they're just like, just really, I don't know if it's direction or what, but it felt like he was just kind of coasting. I felt the same way about him in Tenet. I've definitely seen him where I'm like, yeah, he's got the stuff. He's got his dad's, but like, man, it's been a while since I've seen it. He needs to maybe stop doing cerebral sci-fi.
I was going to say his dad liked to do gangster movies. His kid likes to do sci-fi stuff. So
maybe his dad's a lot better at the gangster stuff than, he is at the sci-fi. I'd say I'm fine with letting him float here.
All right. The next one's
boy.
A big one. Big contender.
Chris Hemsworth, Tyler Rake, Extraction 2. This is like my new favorite action series. Mm-hmm. And God bless Shea Serrano for making me watch it, because I would have just dismissed it as a stupid Netflix movie.
Right.
This is a mid-80s action flick with modern technology and sensibilities. Just gonzo fucking action. Oh, it's so good. We'll talk more about it later, I'm sure. Ooh, Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, part What? One.
Okay.
Someone put part some.
Well, not even part one anymore.
Someone put part one. Yeah, just Dead Reckoning.
Dead Reckoning. To the top. I mean, he does some real badass stuff in that movie. And the fact that it's pretty much real helps it.
So we got Joel Kinnaman, who did work in Silent Night and For All Mankind. Less of a badass role increasingly in For All Mankind.
True. That movie, Silent Night, is a god-awful train wreck of a movie. But he's pretty badass in it.
He is badass. The action is good when it is doing its action. But it was just, I'm glad they tried to make a movie like that. I never want to see that movie again. Timmy the Oliphant, Justified CP, City Primeval.
Yeah, not Child Predator.
Cheese pizza.
Great. I don't know, man. I mean, he's playing Raylan Givens, who is absolutely a badass. This is a return to that role, but I didn't really feel the badass from him this season.
Did he kill anyone besides Clem?
I don't think so. I'm not even sure he drew down on anyone besides Clem.
Yeah, even maybe those two punks that he picked up on the way to drop his daughter off at Gator School or whatever the hell that plot is. But I think he just kind of intimidated them into compliance.
Not his most badass season by a long shot.
Nah, and it seems a crime to float him, but geez.
Mm-hmm.
What do we make about Boyd Holbrook as Clement Mansell? He also was in Indiana Jones, was he not?
He was, yeah. He was one of the horrible Nazi guys.
Indy 5.
Which he wasn't super badass in Indy 5, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like the thing that always bothered me about Clement is his whole superpower is he's just casual about violence, and he didn't think he could ever be brought down, and he was super wrong about that. But he's big dude, pretty menacing.
He's got the charisma. I mean, that's the thing. His charisma is kind of off the charts, a la Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And that character is extremely charismatic as well. I mean, he can charm women. Yes. He can intimidate men. The most badass among us is still kind of worried about this guy, so maybe to the
but
top.
But he's also and he's also a proper thug. I mean, he can also beat the shit out of people and kill them. So I wish I need to see him in a. I feel like you really can't judge a badass until you see him in a like a heroic role, so they can just kind of slay out righteously. There's only so much badassery a villain can get up to. But Katie Sackhoff, Bo-Katan.
Holy shit, this is a big list. She gets the jetpack assist. She gets the blaster rifle assist. I don't know. I mean, it's undoubtedly like she's an action hero. I'm really torn on this one. What do you think?
What I really think is we give Stunt Woman in a Helmet a lot of credit for Katie Sackhoff's badassery.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because every time the action starts up, the helmet goes on. Whereas like a guy like Pedro, we're going to get to a little bit later on the list. It's like, yeah, he's got the Mandalorian, and you could say the same thing about him, but... And I would, but he also has Joel, who is a certified top of the list badass. So,
sure,
I'm fine with letting her float. I think we've given their dap before on previous seasons of Mandalorian, but
okay.
Now, hey, this is something to just I kind of want to the top it just for the style points. I'm at best as Kalaren Beck, the swashbuckling Jedi who single-handedly saved baby Grogu from the Jedi Temple and the Order 66 Purge.
Right.
A redemption for this man who was driven almost suicidal by irate Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit of that burden. I was pretty harsh on my judgments of Jar Jar back in the day.
Oh, I still think Jar Jar sucks. I have nothing against Dom at best, but Jar Jar's
I never sought the man out on social media and told him I thought he's a garbage human being. Like, that was like, that's the heartbreaking experience of watching the making of features of the Star Wars prequels, is how many people were so joyous that Star Wars is being made again. How many young creatives, special effects people, modelers, actors. And then it's, they just get there and it's a factory of misery overseen by a depressed, soulless man. To the top. He's not gonna stay there, but
yeah, he definitely won't stay there. I mean, yeah, sure.
I'm hoping you'll make the top 10, buddy. We'll see.
I don't think Carl Weathers is gonna follow him. Nah.
Rest in peace.
I mean, he did stand up to the thugs, I think, at one point, but like,
not. Well, as a politician, yeah. Not as a, like a warrior. Although he might have wielded a gun. I don't even think he punched a guy.
I think he did, but nah.
Okay, what do we make of Jess Bush as Christine Chapel? Her whole deal is she takes a magic pill. It increases her reflexes, strength and bone density, and she's able to kill Gorn, Klingons, etc. with her bare hands.
Yeah, but you can say that of anybody, like, who takes the magic pill, right?
Yeah, there is a she's definitely a River Tam kind of, you know, mold.
Yeah, you gotta kind of
willowy people who are just because of technology combat good at combat.
The same, well, not exactly the same, but the pill thing applies also to Babs Olsonmokun, who plays in Bingo on that show, because they're both doing the identical thing, right?
Olsonmokun, I think is how you pronounce the name. Yeah, no. Yes, you're right.
But Mbinga stands up to... there's something different about Mbinga to me because of the way that that episode plays out at the end, where like you've got this diplomat who was like a Klingon who was committing atrocities and stuff, and then he stands up to him both in the old timeline and the present timeline.
Mm-hmm. And he knifes the guy to death, not for nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then claims it was a med bay malfunction. It was like, I don't know. He gets a little more credit, but can you be a badass if
he's got
a
legit badass frame? Because that's the thing, is like, I think Babs pulls it off. He's got the goods too. He was also the guy that Paul Atreides killed to get his place in Siege Tabor. I forget, Jameis. Yeah. He's Jameis in Dune. So.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty badass in that.
He's pretty badass in that as well. Of course, that's from the years past. And then, like, let's just take him as a trio. Ethan Peck as Spock. Star Trek Strange New Worlds. His claim to fame this year is that he killed a Gorn. Got the better of a Gorn in zero-G combat.
He did. Can you be a badass in zero-G?
I mean, probably. Got it. Yeah, you still got mass. You still got force to apply.
Yeah, it doesn't look quite as cool because you can't move as quickly or as decisively. But like, yeah.
Why don't I consider Spock a badass character?
I don't either. I don't know.
It's just kind of like Data. Like when I think about it, I always think like, yeah, like some of my favorite scenes of Data is when he is like ripping Borg's heads off their shoulders and just casual displays of strength in this average size. Like I think that's cool. Like Data's a sleeper build, right?
Yeah.
He can bench press half a ton, but he looks like, you know, your neighbor who loves the garden, right? I feel like Spock's the same way. He's like probably physically the strongest, most capable hand-to-hand combatant on the Enterprise, but you always, his intellect and his logic and deduction and science skills just dwarf his brawn.
Yeah.
I think it's the same way, but it's one of the things, like, he is a super badass, but...
Like, what if Dolph Lundgren played more of the Dolph Lundgren in his movies? Like, if he was a bodybuilder and he was tough and, like... could punch people, but he was mostly known for his brain and his research capabilities.
Doing chemistry and, yeah.
Would he still be considered top tier badass? I don't know.
I mean, is he playing? Is he playing badasses? That's the thing. Yeah. You know?
Spock primarily likes to avoid violence, and I think that is not the trait of a badass.
The reluctant badass is a very powerful archetype, you know.
I mean,
the,
it can
the
be.
The
yeah.
Kane from Kung Fu, the one, you know, I was like David Banner. I just, hey, I don't want any trouble here. I don't want to unleash the Hulk. I just want to have my pie and move on to the next town.
Sure.
But yeah. You fucking assholes keep like Rambo, right? He didn't want any of that. He didn't want that smoke.
Hmm.
Was it Brian Dennehy? Brian Dennehy's the one keeps fucking harassing him, yeah. Pushing him, calling him a bum. Let things go break bad.
Guess so.
All right, so but all that I dissertation about badasses tier. Aside, I don't either. And I'm like, what is there, are we really going to give Babs the edge because he was in an episode where he's a soldier?
I don't
I think that's
so.
What it, it's just like.
I mean,
yeah, you're content to let all three of these float?
He's primarily a doctor. He got caught up in some bad shit, but he had to take a pill to do it. And it's the pill thing that's the problem for me. It's like, you don't, because anybody could take that pill. You are not the badass. The pill is the badass. You're just the vessel.
You said the same thing about, so would we call, okay. So Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, is he a badass? And if so, what kind of badass he is? He's got to be just the charismatic type, right? Like he is John McClane, only a billionaire. He's John McClane in a $1 trillion suit of armor. He's the world's cop, and also he's a billionaire.
I mean, maybe it's not fair to say a pill doesn't make you a badass, because I mean, it's the actor, right? Like, this is the thing that's killing me. So is Babs a badass this year? Well, he did some, his character did some on-screen shit that was really cool.
Yeah,
maybe.
And that's the thing, it's like Jess Bush is like a zero on the physical champion scale,
right?
And Babs,
I mean,
he's
pretty low on charisma, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
that
and
character,
I'm looking through some of Babs' body of work. He's got a good, you know, he's got a decent muscular average build, but he's not like hulking for sure.
No
I wonder how tall he is. He's 5'8". Okay. Yeah. I'm starting to think we're talking ourselves out of the Star Trek badasses. Maybe Michael Dorn can bring it back. Ethan Peck's height. 6'1". Okay.
There's no way I can give badass to Ethan Peck. I mean, yeah, he fought a Gorn, but
he's got like your dead average, like skinny dude body.
Yeah.
Jess, I would
and
like
Babs
to have that body,
are
but
a little more plausible.
Really? You think Jess Bush is a more plausible badass? Jess Bush, how tall is she?
Than Spock? Gal? Yeah, I think so. I mean, she also fought that Gorn. Don't forget.
Wow, she's 5'10". Damn.
Oh, she's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm. She is just a wispy thing, though, in terms of the build.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, and there's also just the other thing is, like, the characters. Babs, yeah, Dr. Mbenga is not a badass. I don't think Spock is a badass. Christine Chapel, certainly not a badass. And none of the badass charisma. So, yeah, I think we got there. How about Pedro Pascal?
For Joel in The Last of Us, yeah, you can go up.
I mean, we take him and Ellie to the top.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Oh, Anna Torv. Oh,
Anna
yeah.
Torv. Anna Torv, is she a badass,
her
or does she just have
really
a
badass
on? She just have a badass on her leash.
No, I mean that last scene with her where she sacrifices herself.
Is that badass?
Family? Yeah, I think that's badass.
As like in an eight, like. Yeah, I can see it.
I mean, holding off an entire army of the undead as your friends escape. I can see
Arnold going out like that at the end of a movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's kind of Terminator 2 ending, sure.
She's not
going to win
this,
badass. Because, like, Mother Teresa could have doused herself in gasoline and ignited a grenade to kill a flock of zombies, right? But Mother Teresa is not a badass, but everyone is capable of doing badass things. That's the whole, I think people still don't get the idea of the badasses. It's like badass is a category of person. Mm-hmm. Doing badass things is anyone's domain. Everyone can be badasses in their own special way, but we're talking about like being an Arnold Schwarzenegger / Sylvester Stallone type 80s, 90s badass. And
I mean, as far as charisma goes, she, I mean, having Pedro Pascal on the leash, as you say, it's pretty impressive. If you can make a badass like that do the things you wanted to do.
I mean, that's one of the defining characteristics of a badass is that they can order other badasses around on the charisma scale.
Yeah.
So she's at least a 0.75. But then you've got like the fact that Anna Torv is, I don't know. I'm not familiar with her work, but
I'm not either. This is the first time I've seen her.
I think. So, and she's in like 1.5 episode. Cause that's what I'm saying. It's like, we got the entire body of work of Pedro and Bella, or we're going to, you know, I mean, if you want to take them all to the top, that's fine. There's going to be a lot of daylight between these two.
Of course. And Anna. She's the lead in Fringe. Forgot about that. Yeah, I haven't really seen her in anything though.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
This Tuesday, we're back off the clock with a new premium podcast covering our experiences with the new Amazon series Fallout, Alex Garland's Civil War, as well as some thoughts on X-Men 97.
Then on Friday, The Old Reliable, Lunch with Jim and Aaron. Join us in the Munch Crowd to watch us record live at 1 p.m. Eastern or check out the podcast later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info. And now, back with more Bald Move.
I don't know if she needs to go to the top of the other two. I just wanted to, I didn't want to besmirch her reputation here, because I think she's pretty badass in that, but only in that, right. Really that one moment.
I'm not besmirching her. So there we go. Now Michael Dorn to the top, right?
Okay. As the warrior monk, Klingon.
You tell me where we stop going to the top, because we got Michael Dorn, Star Trek Picard Season 3, Old Man Worf. Got Norman Reedus, Old Man Daryl on Daryl Dixon.
Keep going.
Rosario Dawson going. With Ahsoka. Ray Stevenson, I'll fight you if you say. Hayden yeah. Christensen yep. As Darth Vader. Lee Pace, Brother yep. Day. Ben Daniels, yep. General Bel Rios in Foundation. Bill Hader.
No.
Okay.
Being crazy, being psychotic does not make you a badass.
Yeah, and this season of Barry might have been the least badass season of Barry of all time. And then Alan Richardson as Jack yeah. Reacher, got to send him to the top.
I mean, the final battle where everybody's firing guns, doesn't he just like lay down?
I don't honestly
and avoid
remember.
Gunfire? Like, there's nothing badass that he does. He's
I really only remember one. The grain entrapment.
Yep.
And then everything that happened after the time jump. Like, that's the stuff that stuck out the season. Like, the first three, four episodes, I don't even remember what happened.
When Milton, I just always think of him as Milton. When Milton walks in.
Fuchs.
Yeah, Fuchs, after he's been out of prison and that whole gunfight mm-hmm. happens. I think he just lays down. He ducks, right?
Yeah, probably. Like I said, I don't know. I can't. I remember that fight. I remember the build up to it. I do not.
You don't remember the actual execution of it. That's fair.
Okay. So Bill Hader at the bottom of our badass list. Play, this is better luck next time, buddy. We didn't really sink anybody, though.
No, we didn't.
40 people. We got to do better.
I mean, I'll sink Nicholas Holt. You want to sink Nicholas Holt? Bill Hader's not at the bottom?
Sure. Okay, Alan Ritchson. Now we're gonna get the brass tacks. Alan Ritchson, better, bigger badass than Michael Dorn. I mean, it's easy. Like, Alan Ritchson is, like, this guy is a fucking monster. Jack Reacher is like the apex predator of badasses. As dumb as this show was, it was still fun to watch just him do just insane shit, and, you know, just him beating people down brutally never really gets old.
I mean, I can tell you it's more badass.
It's part of the fun of the show is like the fact that they get all these dudes like, yeah, get your 5'10", 6', 6'1" beefy dudes out there, and this guy is gonna fold them. Like, the idea that they keep getting dudes to stand up to this guy and start shit with this guy is just incredible. Like, no one, you go in a diner, if you were going to rob a diner and you see this guy sitting in the corner eating cherry pie, you just pick another diner.
Yeah.
You know, no one does. They always pick that diner.
Then you got a guy with a wallet that says badass motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. And he's sitting there in like some kind of god awful banana slug shirt. You just. Michael Dorn versus Norman Reedus. This surprisingly is a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think Norman Reedus is given more badass stuff to do, so that's one in his favor.
True.
Pretty much every episode.
It was Star Trek Picard, and he got the show with his name on it. So,
yeah.
But I will say this. So, like, Michael Dorn in real life is, like, a practitioner of Tai Chi and I think one other martial arts, and he worked with the prop guy to come up. Like, Michael Dorn and another guy who was into Aikido, I forget who the prop master was in Next Generation, but, like, they developed the Klingon martial art.
Nice.
All the sword and the batleth stuff, that's all, like, Michael Dorn and this other dude. And I think Michael Dorn looks good when he's moving. You and I both notice a little bit of... maybe of a more laid back action style than Norman Reedus. He's doing a lot of this flail stuff. It's just this inherently not a visually interesting way to fight.
That flail.
It's a lot of standing around twirling, which is probably not even a real flail. It's probably just a stick with the CGI head being added to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Worf only got 2 or 3 scenes this year and Norman got 2 or 3 each episode. I don't know. That Coliseum shit was pretty badass, though. With him and Quinn.
Yeah, fighting the mutant walkers or whatever.
Yeah, that was a hell of a moment. I don't know that Worf had anything comparable.
I'm trying to think, did Worf do actual battle with that Ferengi gangster?
Didn't he kill him?
Did he blow his head up or whatever?
I thought he like came in with his sword.
He might have. I can't remember if that was like an all-out battle or if that was a sneak attack.
I know he got in a couple of pretty good sword exchanges with people,
but
and I can't remember what his whole deal was in the last episode. Did he just like fall asleep? Wasn't that the joke that Worf just fell asleep or something?
Most of the last battle
was the Enterprise flying around blowing shit up like an X-wing. But I don't know. Like, I kind of want to make it an argument, but I think Norman Reedus is the bigger badass. Yeah, no?
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Michael Dorn versus Rosario Dawson.
Oh man, I gotta separate what I thought of the show from
that's the thing. Ahsoka the show sucks. Ahsoka the character as portrayed by Rosario Dawson, I actually really like. I like all of the characters on the show.
Huh.
That's kind of a damn shame. Well, no, that's not true. I felt like the show was actually about this other lady, not Ahsoka, the other wannabe Jedi Mandalorian. Yeah. What was her name?
You had to ask me that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Tostitos, I think was her name.
Tostitos?
Yeah.
Ranchero? Okay. I liked a lot of these characters. I thought they were all plausible badasses. They just were doing stupid stuff. So, I think...
her name was Sabine Wren.
Sabine, there
you go. For the people shouting at their iPods right now.
Seven.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely a badass, and she's definitely more badass than Michael Dorn or Norman Reedus.
Again, it's Ahsoka. It's Ahsoka. Oh.
I'm going to say that she had a lot.
Hard to deny.
More fight scenes. And the fight scenes she did have, crucially, were more badass, I think. Like, yeah, you can talk about the choreography all you want, but I saw Norman Reedus twirling that mace or whatever it was, Morningstar. It was horseshit. So don't tell me about choreography.
Also, not only that, but all the set pieces that she was in were not only badass, but they actually served to move the plot forward, where all of Norman Norman Reedus's action scenes are just spectacle. It's just set
pretty
pieces.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, like her duel with Anakin on the spiritual plane, her two duels with Valen Skull, her duel with Darth Grimes. Yeah, she's able to be a pretty multidimensional badass. Okay, so
she runs real fast when she wants to.
Is Michael Dorn more badass than Ray Stevenson? I say no, not even close. And in fact,
I think Ray Stevenson is number two here above Rosario Dawson, simply because he's going in twice. Simply because he has the charisma that I don't feel like Ahsoka has. Ahsoka trying to even command a child here, and it's not working. This child is doing whatever it wants, running around crazy, screaming in the mall. Ray Stevenson, he had command over his child, for sure. Like, he was commanding other badasses, right?
Yeah.
The charisma score is higher.
I don't know. This guy, I also, like, it's rare that I've seen the breadth and girth of a badass. Like, his chest felt about as broad as he is tall, right? Mm. Anytime he's, like, squared up against anybody, or anytime he's just standing there in his robes, he just had this, like, mass to him.
Yeah,
like a
mountain. He has a presence, and it's not all physical. I mean, some of it is. He's a big guy, but that's the other thing. There's this like quiet confidence to him as well, where I feel like that's a component of being a badass, is you have to have confidence in yourself.
It's a damn shame that he died, because he's also the best new character Star Trek has, or Star Wars has trotted out. I mean, I don't know. Andor put a couple of good ones on the board, but in terms of Jedi characters, oh my god, like he outshone Grand Admiral Thrawn as the villain of the show, and you told me that in 1992, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna finally get Thrawn on the big in live action, and some broad dude, some billboard sized dude is going to outdo I think Jack Reacher sees Balin Skull go into his pie deli. He might get his pie to go.
All right. I mean, I'm not saying he could take that fight. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to win that fight, but he'd be like, I don't know. I'm not my atypical confident self. I don't know, but can I actually put him above Alan Richardson? Because the thing is Jack Reacher season two really sucked bad, but so did Ahsoka. And neither one of the gentlemen involved were the reason the episode sucked, so I guess I gotta go with one guy is actually like how tall is Alan Richardson? I bet he's like 6'2".
Just says very.
It just says very.
The other thing is the quantity.
He's billed as 6'2 or 6'3.
Monstrous as I assumed.
Yeah, I mean, he is like, his fucking body is incredible. Like, he's definitely got the full 1C.
Yeah,
depending on what era you're looking at. But in his Jack Reacher era, he's pretty brick house. Okay.
It's a quantity of action, too. I think Ray Stevenson only has like two battles where he's badass.
And he's very graceful and majestic. You know, you feel the power there, but he's not like,
yeah, there's like a conservation of energy kind of thing happening with him.
He's not folding dudes like origami with his bare hands.
Right.
All right, let's say Hayden Christensen. Kind of honorary? Because, I mean, I still remember the feeling of him coming out of that fog bank taking warm-up cuts with his lightsaber as he approached, as he just stalks down on Ahsoka. And that was pretty badass. Like, where was this guy in the prequels?
Yeah, I mean, Darth Vader's a badass. Undeniable. I do feel like it's more of an honorary type thing because he doesn't have a ton to do action wise in this.
It's just really the one scene. It's a great scene, though.
Yeah. Same as Ahmed Best. You know, it's like, OK, yeah, they had some serviceable action stuff, but it wasn't the focus. And they were good in it, but they're not going to win this award for it.
More badass than Old Man Worf.
That's real close. No.
Top five is hallowed ground too. Like you're.
Oh yeah, he's not staying in top five even if we put him there.
Top 10 is an honor with the field of 40, but top five is rarefied air. How about Lee Pace's brother Day? This might be the most nakedly badass season that Lee Pace has had.
Literally.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Like that so fight with only... him and Bel Rios was unhinged.
Yeah. I mean, they're kicking groins and gouging eyes and biting noses.
There's
and...
some genuine enmity there. That's
spitting blood.
Yeah.
That stuff was really good. And then, yeah, like you mentioned or alluded to, the naked fight scene at the very beginning of the season was also very memorable. Mm-hmm. And the glee he took in that scene in actually fighting these people, I thought was contributed to it being badass. I could see him going pretty high on this list.
I was thinking underneath Ray Stevenson.
That sounds about right.
So that's leapfrogging Hayden Christensen, Michael Dorn, Norman Reedus, Rosario Dawson. I'm gonna park him right above her right now. How do you feel about that?
Ooh.
Okay, we're talking about the actor. It's hard when we're talking about the badass of the year, though, because it's not an entire
about the
career.
It's about
we're really overvaluing the one C here.
I want to say...
Because ultimately, he's a silly dude.
Yeah.
That kind of hurts his badassery, whereas Ahsoka and Baylan both are extremely serious badasses.
And he's defeated in both of those battles.
True.
He loses every fight he's in this season.
In terms of badass rules, he definitely won Bel Rios. Bel Rios just outsmarted him, just outfoxed him.
Yeah, I suppose if you're just matching brawn, he kicked his ass.
Yeah, but he also is just big. I mean, he's got like a head and shoulders over Bel Rios. You know.
That's the thing about Lee Pace, man. He's bigger than you think he is.
God, yeah, he is like 6'6".
Yeah,
and
built. He's built too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's much to be proud of.
Okay, yeah. Let's put him there. I mean, as far as champion goes, he kicks Rosario Dawson's ass all day, every day.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ben Daniels, who is the other side of that unhinged fight. General Bel Rios from Foundation. Now, this is the serious guy. This guy is the seriest, most serious. I liked as like one of the more likable villains. And I'm not even sure if you'd call him the villain.
Yeah. By the end, I don't. No, I wouldn't.
Antagonist? That's a good, better way to say it. He's one of the most more likable antagonists we've had in recent seasons. He's a tactician, strategist, good with people, charismatic. His men and women love him and will do anything for him. Devoted husband to his other husband,
Glaewyn, or whatever his name
Glaewyn,
is.
Yeah.
Horrible name.
Yeah. He's like a Renaissance man, and he can fucking brawl. Like, got years of hardening in that slave labor camp. Got a little bit of that gladiator flair. You know, this story general sent into exile, fighting his way out of the mines.
Faces
he's
death
pretty badass
without a care.
Yeah, drinking some shit wine.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be pretty high up here.
I think he goes over Norman Reedus.
Daryl Dixon.
And then that's where he's starting to have a hard time. That means Daryl's out of the top five.
We all knew it was going to happen.
He just skipped over Hayden Christensen, Michael Dorn, and Norman Reedus. Sure. Are you good to that? Do you think he should go higher?
I'm good with that.
Okay, let's talk about Pedro Pascal.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Pedro Pascal is a beast, and he really shows those qualities. I mean, he's like a badass throughout the whole film, but like the final two episodes where he captures and tortures those dudes and then one man just cleans out an entire Firefly infestation from a local hospital. He's like an avenging beast. Something dark and terrible from myth and fable.
Yeah.
We're gonna take points away from him because he got sepsis from being stabbed in the gut by a baseball handle.
No, I'm just trying to like stack him up against the others here. Because his forte is not hand-to-hand combat, which I think we tend to prize over most other things.
But he gets it done.
But he does get it done, yeah. I don't want to discount him for that. And also, yeah, he can wield an automatic weapon with the best of them. So
that thing hurt Joel is the charisma.
For sure,
Joel
yeah.
has got broken, broken, divorced dad. Also, his daughter died.
Yeah.
Just depression era. Doesn't take good care of himself. Charisma.
Yeah, he's so much better when he's a construction worker. Not more badass, but just like a way better dude.
And that's what's wild is Pedro Pascal is one of the most giftedly charismatic people I've ever seen in my whole fucking life. It's him in an interview or just interacting with people is insane. That he plays Joel as such a kind of like shut down, emotionally repressed kind of loser is really good acting.
Oh yeah, no, he is very good actor.
Like he's like his most charming is kind of when he's like a little bit awkward dad talking to Bella about music or what, or not Ella, Ellie, Bella Ramsey playing Ellie.
Belly.
So and they're interesting because like that's kind of a different. They're kind of opposed that way because Ellie is charismatic as hell, but she's just a little bitty thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she will still end her fucking life with the knife. Yeah, she's like, you.
That's the
handful.
Thing. Here's maybe something controversial. I think Bella is going to end up higher on this list than Pedro because her character is just more badass. She has like this resiliency that, and this like ferociousness in her that like.
The ferocity.
I can't even describe how good it is. Yeah, the way she lashes out at, well, everyone to start, but like the cannibal dude at the end
it's
is
like
just
David,
like,
was that his name? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's David. Yeah, the way she goes at him multiple times, like through their entire arc, right? When she's caged up like a dog, she's ferocious. This guy almost dies to her in a cage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and then you know the,
she
the
frees
fight.
Her like they got her pinned down to a butchering table and she frees you know manages to kill a dude free herself.
Uh huh. Bites out a man's neck, right?
Yeah, it's like it's pretty gruesome. So you're saying Ellie is a bigger badass than Joel in The Last of Us?
I think so. I mean, what does Joel have that competes with that?
He's like, the thing is, that's the other thing is Pedro Pascal is also not a, like if Pedro Pascal was like had the body of a Dave Bautista, like I think, you know, and he got to do a little bit more physical combat, I think. But you're right. Bella almost gets to do more savage shit than he does. So I think you've got me convinced. Let's keep them as a unit and see how higher they rise and then see where they separate.
OK,
they're better, bigger badasses than Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Michael Dorn,
oh, yeah.
Norman Reedus, Ben Daniels, Rosario Dawson, Lee Pace.
Ho ho.
Lee Pace? Rosario Dawson. Okay, let's park him there.
Yeah, I never felt the fire. I feel at various times in the show a fire from Ellie and Joel that I don't feel from Ahsoka. I didn't like the character of Ahsoka, by the way. Like, I know you did. I just thought it was way flat and not compelling.
No, that's the problem with Star Wars Jedi and Star Wars. Even Luke got bored.
Right.
When he became a Jedi.
Yeah, he did get more boring.
Like, they're defining
he?
Qualities that are just serene.
Mm-hmm.
Act serene, serener. It's the opposite of slower, less intense.
Of Venus, but.
Does Bella get over Lee?
She's so small. She's
That's
so
what
tiny.
I'm saying. Like, you're talking about giant people here. These
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you tell me Ellie killed Lee Pace, or you tell me that Ellie killed Brother Day, I'd probably believe it. But
I mean,
I'd suspect trickery and deceit.
Our criteria for badass, I think, says she kind of can't.
Yeah, we just essentially have champion and charisma. That's the only, because mm-hmm. like, this is the single character. So, like, these next people are just significantly higher. I mean, she's got the charisma. She's at, like, a 7.75, I would say.
She's high up there. And I think she just edges out Pedro because Pedro's not one of those huge dudes.
Yep, and he's also playing extremely low charisma.
Yep. I'm happy with them both right there.
So let's talk about Ahmed Best. How high can nostalgia and my guilt at saying that Jar Jar sucks all those years ago, how high can it take him? Can it crack him into the top 10? Can it?
For me, we're just arguing about who's going to get knocked out of the top 10, him or Hayden Christensen.
Uh-huh.
Because I think they're traveling in a pack here. It's such a similar
role,
right?
The thing is we still haven't gotten, I don't think any of them are making, unless this guy can, unless Ahmed Best can get over Hayden, Michael Dorn, and Norman Reedus, I think he's doomed. Because we've got some real badasses coming up.
I mean, there's effectively nostalgia cameos that they have an action scene in them.
Yeah. And he could have fucked it up. He could have phoned this in. He could have just but he put some work into it. Like, he had some choreography. And it's a real moment in the show. It feels badass.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're aware it's Jar Jar Banks or not. But yeah, I don't see how he can fight his way into the top 10.
No, I would maybe put him above Hayden, but it doesn't matter.
Maybe. What about Boyd? I think Boyd Holbrook's fine. Like, I would, get this man a action. Try this guy out on a couple action flicks, you know?
Yeah,
Joel Kinnaman, continue.
Way up there, but he doesn't have that much to do.
Continue to give Joel Kinnaman things to do in action movies.
He's got to go up.
But how? I'm not putting him over Michael Dorn. This movie just sucks too bad.
Yeah, I'm trying not to judge the movie.
This movie has like 2.5 good set pieces, and
mm-hmm.
he's not charismatic. In fact, it's like a lot of his stuff in this movie is what I would call anti-charismatic, like ugly.
Oh, yeah,
he's not allowed
for sure.
to speak.
Right, he doesn't speak, so.
He's big. Like, that's the thing. Joel Kinnaman is really, he came in like 10 years ago when I first became aware of him on House of Cards, and he was like tall and good looking and like an Aaron Eckhart type. And he has really worked to get that kind of Marvel DCU bod. And it shows. So, but he's still not super bulky. He's just got like, I don't know, like a slightly roided up swimmer's body, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Bulky swimmer.
He's a very tall guy, isn't he? Like 6'4" or something like that.
I believe he's pretty tall. Yeah,
he is 6'2".
Oh,
and let's do a body check. Tall. It's hard to see what era we're talking about here.
I mean, he's a man who, in order to make him seem normal, they had to cover him with a thick, heavy sweater.
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't just know, oh, he's already a badass. He doesn't need to work out for 9 months or whatever.
I'm thinking maybe swimmer's body might be pegged. Like, that kind of looks like what he's got.
I remember him being pretty big in Altered Carbon, but
Altered Carbon, I think, is his best era. I'm just looking peak, at yeah. his Tekashi versus where he's at now, and it looks like maybe he's like eased up the throttle a little bit on the working out, which good for him. I mean, it's honestly, unironically, not good to cultivate that much mass. Okay. Yeah. I could easily put him into the top 10. He won't stay there long, but
yeah.
All right, so he's skipping over Boyd, Ahmad Best, Hayden Christensen, snuggling up underneath Michael Dorn.
I mean, Michael Dorn, look, he's got height. He hasn't worked on his body.
True.
Neither is Norman Reedus. I mean, Norman Reedus relies on leather to keep him looking like a badass.
Yeah, Norman Reedus is like got possum strength. Are you wanting to move Joel Kinnaman above? I don't know, man. The character is just...
Yeah, the character's not amazing. He's a guy who wants revenge. And he gets revenge. But does he get it in a really badass way? He does. He goes in, shoots a bunch of people, and murders a guy with a knife or something. I don't know.
Christmas ornament. Something about strangling the guy and the reflection of a Christmas ornament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know, man.
Here's the thing. He's not staying in the top 10 either. It doesn't matter if we put him above Norman Reedus or not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Tom Cruise,
so
Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. What did he do in this film? He jumped off a mountain with a motorbike.
I mean, his champion is zero. His champion, can we give him negative points for zero?
You think Tom Cruise doesn't have... I mean, he's definitely...
I mean, he's muscular, but he's tiny. He's a baby.
Tom Cruise body.
I mean, that's his defining feature, is he's small. I don't care how old you get, you're still small.
Yeah, he's maybe above average, but like, and also he's just, the stature is definitely, he's probably 0.25, maybe 0.5 at his peak, absolute peak, but yeah. Okay. So do we raise him? Like, do you even care? Because here's the next thing. The Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, but to the top again.
This guy, to the top?
To the top again.
Okay.
I mean, he's the epitome.
You might have something there.
Yeah, to me, he's the epitome of what this category is, but...
Okay, what about Jonathan Majors and Michael B. Jordan?
Boy, those guys have to go up.
To the top again?
Oh,
you gotta start being more selective about this. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, the Creed 3 bros. So they're right now at 16 and 17. Here's the thing. Tom Cruise.
They're not
Boyd
killing
Albert,
anybody. So
Ahmad Best. True.
How badass are you really?
they just beat men to into a pulp in the ring. Hayden Christensen actually didn't.
Did Michael B. Jordan kill Jonathan Majors in that movie?
Jonathan Majors kill a guy in the ring?
Oh.
Or am I misremembering something from?
Yeah, he. I think he did. He fought like the McGregor guy, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought they were setting up some kind of like Rocky III type of deal with Clubber Lang.
Yeah,
killing.
I think you're right.
But actually, Clubber Lang didn't kill anybody, did he? It was Ivan Drago is the one who killed somebody.
Yeah, Ivan Drago kills Apollo Creed, yeah?
Yeah, I think Mickey just has a heart attack.
Oh, right. Yeah, he probably drove him to it.
Yeah, there he did. He just punched his heart. Okay, so these guys, we're talking about Jonathan Majors and Michael B. Jordan.
16 eggs every morning for years.
My legs rock. So he's bigger badass than Tom Cruise, Boyd Holbrook, Ahmad Best, Hayden Christensen, Joel Kinnaman, Michael Dorn, Norman Reedus.
Oh, okay.
Ben Daniels, Rosario Dawson.
Oh my.
I mean, if we're being honest, Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey, like, they're starting to have a problem with Lee Pace
for me. Cause I mean, these are physical specimens, right? Like
these are, yeah, they're warriors.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk Podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today. And now, back with more Bald Move.
Okay, let me ask you if this is controversial. Let's take a Michael B. Jordan and let's put him at number 9 below Pedro. Because he's not the thing that really impresses me anymore. Like,
he's got the C's. Like, he's at least 0.75 on Champion and at least 0.75 on Charisma. Jonathan Majors, I think, is that's in the, kind of the same ballpark, but he's playing a character. Both, and Kang is just off-putting. Kang is weirdo.
He doesn't get any points for that. But I think there's an intensity about Jonathan Majors in this movie that I don't feel coming from Michael B. Jordan. And I know
it's dangerous.
The story is written for him to win, but I don't feel like he would actually win. Is the thing.
Yeah, this like he's playing like Michael, like Mike Tyson in his prime, like never got sent away to prison, even though ironically he got sent to prison in the story. So Michael B. Jordan going to go down, what do you say, below
to
Ben Daniels?
Eight. No, below Pedro.
Oh, below Rosario. Below Rosario?
No.
Oh, okay, below Pedro. Pedro. Okay. What's your rationale for below Pedro? Because by my rights, he's got both of the C's over him.
Oh, maybe... maybe he goes between Bella and Pedro, because Bella has that John Mike Tyson Jonathan Majors intensity, like her character.
Yeah, then that's the career. But like, man, oof.
I know the Champion really kills her. Really. Okay, put Michael B. Jordan back under Jonathan Majors. You're right. The Champion.
Yeah.
God damn, that's a hard bar to clear if you're not big.
It's an
impossible bar to clear. Literally impossible.
Yeah. Does Bella look like Bruce Lee? Then
no.
She's real. Like if that, like, yeah, like you can get by with like carved in stone, just sinew and bone and lethal quickness. But she's just, she's just a killer.
I do want to see what Devers does. Caitlin Devers does with, shit, what's her name?
Abby. Yeah. I don't know. That's a big question mark for me.
If she gets big, she's got a shot at this list.
I don't know
if you can get that big. The more I think,
yeah, that's the thing. I'm not worried because like I know she's a really great actress, and I know that I have ultimate faith in the production side of that. The
and the story.
The,
Craig Mazin, yeah.
The Craig Mazin and
Neil Druckmann.
Neil Druckmann, yeah. I have ultimate faith in those guys to tell the story correctly, so... But it is,
a story. I mean, that character is going to have some intense, badass stuff to do.
It's the same way when Tom Cruise got announced as Jack Reacher. Like, if you're a fan of Jack Reacher, and he's, you know, he's 6'5", and he's built like a Nebraska lineman, and you're like, Tom Cruise, huh? Now, I think Tom Cruise did a great job in the Jack Reacher movies, but... Yeah, it raises your eyebrows. Anyway, okay, now we're into Charlize Theron. I didn't find to skip her because she's only into the conversation because she held her own against a resurgent Michelle Rodriguez this year.
Okay,
it's the first good action scene I've seen her have in a long time. Like, I didn't really like her action scenes in like Atomic Blonde, and things of that nature. So, and Vin Diesel, like, okay.
The only thing I remember of his badassness is that bridge fight that
with Momoa.
No, I mean, his badass stuff comes in Cars, and that's not fair. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't think this guy's got a shot of making the top 10 this year. I don't think Dave Bautista's got a shot with Guardians either. Michelle Rodriguez, though.
All right, now
putting
we're
up
talking.
One of the best fights I've ever seen her in, Fast X with Charlize Theron, and she's just a genuine badass in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Okay, she's rising above Dave, Vin Diesel, Charlize Theron, Tom Cruise, Boyd Holbrook, Ahmed Best, Hayden Christensen, Joel Kinnaman, Michael Dorn, Norman Reedus, Ben Daniels, man. Zario Dawson, Pedro Pascal, Bella Ramsey, like, where's she stop?
The dual roles really helps her because they are both badass. I mean, Letty.
That's what I'm saying. This is badass of the year for the actor. She's doubling up. Like, I can't see how she doesn't. And they're genuinely good. Mm-hmm. The Fast X is, you know, she's mostly driving. She has a very long, intense.
Yeah.
That
hospital. I wouldn't even call it a hospital.
Yeah. Scene with Charlize. And then she's just a fucking real badass, like CG assisted Marvel style badass in Dungeons and Dragons. So I think she actually is getting into Lee Pace and Ray Stevenson. The two roles.
Yeah, that's sitting her.
Jonathan Majors could have had something there if, you know, he pulled back on the crazy throttle with Kang. I don't know. Does she get that? I can make an argument that she's better than Lee Pace, although.
Is there an upper limit on the number of C's?
Two standout.
Like, in this category, in this particular judging, I know there is in our badass overall thing, but in this, if they had eight characters that were all badass in the same year. I mean,
one year, my God, that's impossible.
A 9C badass, right? If they're a 1C in champion, and then...
Well, it taps out at one... You tap out at 1C character.
What if you have eight roles? What if you play eight characters?
I mean...
They're all badass.
There's no way to get more than 1C in character, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, well, then we shouldn't consider the fact that she played two roles as a boost.
Why? I mean, definitely...
Because you're saying it tops out at one. So if Chris Hemsworth is... Extraction 2, 1C badass, and so is Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, but 0 to 2 roles gives you 0.25 Cs, unless one of them's iconic. So
well,
that's what I'm saying.
In career, like, lifetime badass, but we're not talking about that. That's what I'm trying to do. Like, how are we judging this category? Does extra roles in a single year give you more points or not?
It has to.
Okay. What if she played 8 badasses?
Then that would count super duper high.
This is exactly what I was asking a second ago, and you said no, absolutely not. So
No. You said, like, should she get 8 C's? And I'm like, no, that's ridiculous, because that's not how the C's work. Like, you can't, like, run up the score on a certain C.
So C's are not the criteria by which you judge this category, then.
What? This feels like I'm in a skit, like a Who's On First skit.
And a certain number of roles cannot get you higher than a 1C, but you're also saying we need to weight this category based on number of roles.
Because the number of roles are capped and finite doesn't mean that they don't mean anything. Like in a year mm-hmm. where most people only have the one role, if you have two or three that are good roles, mm-hmm. like if Michelle Rodriguez just did a fucking Art House flick alongside
sure,
Fast
no,
X,
it's not
then,
a badass role. I agree.
Yeah,
there.
But like, yeah, two roles is an advantage over people. Like that shows some hustle. We're talking about badass of the year.
I feel like
this
we're
is
saying
the
exact same thing. We're just like yeah. talking past each other. But
okay, so I don't know what am I? Whatever I'm saying, it says that we shouldn't give merit to the number of roles. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I just disagree with your 9C take.
I think that's it's semantics because okay. I'm talking C's in this category. I think you're talking overall C's, but whatever.
Still doesn't clarify anything.
No,
I'm explicitly arguing for this is probably entertaining for the three people to make it through. I'm explicitly arguing for her to be above Lee Pace.
Oh, okay.
And I just think she just cannot handle. There. She can't handle the mountains.
I mean, Lee Pace is a mountain, in my opinion.
He doesn't have the girth.
Doesn't have the girth.
She could use leverage. I believe Michelle Rodriguez could throw Lee Pace across a room. I don't buy.
Even with
unless
his
there's
shielding?
Mech suits or some kind of Gorn green pill you can take.
Yeah, that might be good.
And not only that, but then you got like any tiebreaker. I think he's like, well, she had two roles. Work harder, Lee Pace.
Oh, you're putting her at number four. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm saying she's better than Lee Pace. Like, she can get purchase on Lee Pace.
I don't literally think that's true in real life, but her character in Dungeons & Dragons, maybe. She is pretty badass in that.
Oh, yeah. Plus, she's got a serious physical champion thing going on there. That's the other thing. I don't
she
know
does?
How much of that is muscle suit. Yeah, in Riga's body.
Huh.
I mean, like I said, I've never seen her look that fucking huge, but if you look at that in Dungeons and Dragons, maybe it's a muscle suit. Is this a scandal?
I don't know.
Or did she just like really bulk up for this role? I mean, I would put this in like Natalie Portman, Thor, Love and Thunder territory in terms of like the shoulders and the upper body. But they definitely, they're definitely bulking out her lower body to give her that foundation. But she's got pretty good shoulders and arms.
0.5C
easy. If you find the route, that's not Michelle Rodriguez. I was like, holy fuck, who? But that's, I don't know why that person's credited with her body, but whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying she's over Lee Pace this year. And if there's any doubt in your mind, remember she did it twice.
Yes, she did.
Are we ready to move on?
Sure.
My God.
I was trying to see if there was a really impressive picture of her. Yeah, she's getting older too, so it's hard to maintain that.
I know, and I think it's like, I think our window, it's too bad that I'm excited for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I'm excited to see with equality coming to the fore, the interesting mixes of genders and sexualities and stuff. I'm excited for the future of the badass category. See what kind of types and badasses emerge, especially with seemingly like a resurgence of badassery.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else we need to talk about here? Do you want to make a serious argument for Donnie Yen or Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, he's way up there, right? Keanu Reeves, he himself is not like a huge or jacked or whatever.
No, of course.
Physical C.
But where are you going to cap him out at? So it's like, let's move him over Donnie, over Dave Bautista, over Vin Diesel, over Charlize Theron, over Tom Cruise, over Boyd Holbrook. I'm kind of skeptical about some of these names already. But I know we've kind of gotten sloppy about the order out of the top 10. Ahmaud Best, Hayden Christensen, Joel Kinnaman, Michael Dorn, Norman Reedus.
Yeah, I mean, he's Rosario got a Dawson, very real shot at the top 10 pretty easily, I would say.
So, okay, here we are. Can you get past Ben Daniels as Bel Rios?
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah. this is modern day action hero. Look, I know our criteria is not, doesn't weight that very well, but like he is the defining modern day action hero.
It is true, but also his charisma, I think, holds him back.
I agree. Although especially his when you're looking at like it's not. He's unflappable. I mean, that's the thing that I think I give him, where like he's going to do what he's going to do, and there's nothing you can really do to stop him. Like, you're probably not going to really follow him, so he's not super high on charisma, but.
Well, here's the thing is like, you're right. He's a modern, I guess he owned action in the 2010s. But you look at like all the, you know, we talk about the renaissance of action film. You talk about Raid Redemption. You talk about Judge Dredd, or Dredd rather. You talk about Fury Road. Talk about John Wick. Those all have these kind of like uncharismatic, blank slate protagonists.
Yeah.
And then you get a guy like Chris Hemsworth in Extraction, and he's taking that gonzo action unstoppable personality and wedding it to the Arnold Schwarzenegger style charisma, and it's tough to beat. It's real tough to beat.
Yeah, he's definitely that's not what I'm going saying. To the top it's of this like, list, but
yeah, like, are we going to put him over Bella Ramsey? I don't know. Why are we being so precious about Ellie from The Last of Us? Like, she's very badass in the context of that show, but if we're going back to 80s and 90s style badass, neither one of them really cut it. Just because she is a ferocious little badger. She's a little fucking honey badger.
Oh, yeah. No, she's... I wouldn't want to fight her.
Yeah.
She was pissed off at me. I'd run.
She got the classic scrote-throat combo, and you're done.
Yep.
She got both of those hit in a quarter second before the neurons have time to move up your spine. So tell you, your scrote's gone. She's already got your throat.
I can't realistically put John Wick above Bella because he doesn't have the C. I mean, he's taller than her, but he's not any more built or like impressive a physical specimen. And then she's got the C on him. The charisma C on him. Ferocious.
You could write a scene where Ellie and John Wick stand off and she just cuts him up, fucks him up.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to start by winning that scene handily, but she's just not going to give up. And
yeah,
I mean, he doesn't give up either. There's a bit of a stalemate there, but the passion, the fire that I feel from Bella is way higher than what I feel from.
So you got to park her under Bella. You got to park him under Bella, John Wick.
I think so.
Oh, man.
I should put some top 10 territory. So
I don't know. I don't understand. I
think Shea Serrano would fight you.
I don't understand her top 10 right now. Yeah, he would. He would. He'd want to be.
I think he'd want him to be number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in the tank for our man Keanu there. Is that it? Is that the so then we need to go and fight about the top 10.
Yeah, because we did just to the top Chris Hemsworth. We didn't actually talk about it.
I'm not gonna make a single fucking argument against anybody because like this, like I Extraction, it's tough because here's the one thing: if you want to say this list is fraudulent, here's its fraudulency. Oscars would never give you this kind of insight. We saw Extraction 1 and 2 like back to back, and if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you which awesome scenes came from what awesome movie.
But it doesn't matter because they're so equally awesome.
Yeah, it's not like one is significantly better than the other. It's just, I what I'm saying is like I feel like I'm giving him an extra role. Like I'm giving him the Michelle Rodriguez movies, boost because it feels like I got a double stuffed Oreo of badass, and I did.
But he is the epitome. He is the Arnold Schwarzenegger of badasses in this year.
His one knock is he was kind of like 0.75 on the champion. But like in the last 5 years, ever since like Avengers Endgame, that era of Thor, he has like really fucking. I don't know. His legs might be a little fraudulent. I think below the. I think Thor skips leg day every once in a while. Yeah. If you see some pictures, that's like you know, But yeah, he is fucking a hulking beast, and he's, I think he's got this like really cool kind of like Australian James Bond charisma.
That's the thing. And it's because the only person I could see competing him with him in C here, or sorry, I keep saying C, physical champion, is Alan Ritchson, but he doesn't have the character. Like, no, I don't think Jack Reacher is as cool as commanding of a character as Tyler Rake.
He's got a caveman thing going for him, and in the series, like women just throw, like just want to climb him like the tallest tree. Yeah, Jack Reacher, mad laid, it has absurd sexy scenes in every season.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he just kind of looks like a big oaf. Whereas Chris Hemsworth looks like an attractive dude who is extremely jacked.
Yeah. And Jack Reacher's a stunt character. He's like as good of an investigator as Sherlock Holmes. He's as smart as like Albert Einstein. He's like as big as fucking Andre the Giant. And he's as strong as a fucking ox. And he's proficient with every fucking weapon. Like he can outshoot a marksman with like any rifle and any weapon system. He's crazy. He's a Gary Stu is what he is. But yeah, Chris Hemsworth, I don't think anyone, like, I'm starting to look at our top five, and it looks pretty good to me. Maybe argue Lee Pace is too high up there. I'm looking at who I would throw over there, though.
Physical champion gets him pretty far.
And the thing is people that haven't seen the series might be like, what? But, like, I can't tell you that he has two absolutely unhinged Gonzo fights.
Mm-hmm.
In Foundation season two, like that with the bed chambers with him and Dimmerzel, and then him calling Bell Rios out on the bridge of his flagship. Like,
yeah,
good scenes, tasty, like blood stripping, like, you know, just yeah. animal fighting.
Mm-hmm.
We might be done.
Feel
like I'm
pretty good about this.
Pretty good about the top five.
If this was
a little shaky on the top 10, because you could make an argument for a lot of people in the top 20. I mean, you could make an argument for, yeah, Bella, Keanu, Rosario, Ben Daniels, Norman Reedus, Michael Dorn. That's about it. You could make a list to move those guys into any of these like 6 through 10 slots, but I'm having a hard time making that argument myself.
Yeah, because the top five is just so packed. All right. I think that's probably good.
I'm very curious how the polling works out on this. This is by far
hilarious
because this is by far the most in-depth question we ask people.
I mean, that's what we care about.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, we'll mark that off the list then. Nicholas Hoult, better luck best year next year.
Yeah, jack yourself
at
up.
Number
and then...
40. He gets the Adrian Brody 2023 award for most fraudulent badass. Welcome to your first Brody.
Oh God, Nick. We should give a Brody award in July when we do the badass.
Oh,
stuff.
I forgot. Yeah. Oh man, we should wait
like
to
Razzie.
Report the results of this at the badass fest. We give Nicholas Hoult a.
Oh. I didn't consider we should just
Brody.
Make yeah we should make the badass stuff. We should tie the badass deliberations more into the live event too.
Yeah I wonder if we could do that. We could have a separate badass branch of the Baldies, like the technical awards, you know.
We might be able to.
We'll that's see. Something we need to workshop. Okay, next category. Oh, boy, it's just nothing but brutal, brutal categories today.
Oh, fuck me.
So what we're in for.
And we did ourselves no favors with this one by combining the genders, all genders.
Dude, boy. I mean, it's tough. It's tough because.
Yeah, it's a very real competition here.
Like, you want a society that gives everybody equal shots, and you want everyone to be represented, but like it is tough. I mean, we're 1 year into the experiment. We'll see. All right, we got Steven Yeun and Ali Wong at top of beef. Boy, here we go to the top for Jeremy Allen White and Ayo Adebri.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No arguments to the top for Pedro and Bella.
There might not be any movement in those two. Oh well, okay. We just to the top, to Pedro.
Yeah. I mean,
what
not?
Are we doing? Are we gonna to the top? All the Yellow Jacket squad too.
Oh man. All of them. I definitely have my favorites. My favorites are Christina Ricci and Sophie Thatcher. Of the Yellow Jackets bunch. How do you feel?
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought for some reason I thought Sophie Thatcher was Shauna. Okay, yeah. I'm good with that.
No.
I'm good with that.
I do really like Sophie Nelise. Nelise? I don't know how you say her name.
I don't.
I like her quite a bit. Okay.
How did we not put Jesus, what is it? Shan? The goalie?
Oh, Van.
Van, thank you. How do we not get adult Van on here?
I don't know. What's her name? Lauren Ambrose?
Oh, is it because she just came in like half season?
I've heard it might have been. And all
there's some kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got all of our pre-libs.
That cast is just such a what is the word for a cast that is
stacked
equally like an ensemble. Such an ensemble. An ensemble. It's like hard for anybody to really stand out. Other than Ricci.
So Ricci is the like I think there's do you think there's daylight between Christina Ricci and Sophie Thatcher? Because I do.
I could see it. I mean, neither of them belong below Steven Yeun or Ali Wong. I think
you take them to these two as a top, and then we'll sort it out, and then let Juliette Lewis and Sophie Nelise float.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, to the top. Okay, Tom Hiddleston, Loki.
He's quite good. He's quite good.
He's very good. He really grounds this pretty complicated material. He made me care about a silly Norse god, trickster god. I don't know what more to say about it. He really sold. It's got to be hard to be the anchor to all that nonsense. Like, everything's spaghettifying. You got, you know, Owen Wilson, and you got Obi, and there are just all these wild, broad characters, and Kang, and you got to be the normal guy, and you're Loki. And you got to, I also thought he did particularly fine work when he was trying to go and reassemble the team without them knowing him. Like, he had to, instantly kind of find ways to gain their trust and, get them. Like I said, he did a lot of challenging stuff. But on the other hand, the problem is he was on Loki and not the Bear, because Loki
there's nothing
just
nearly as dramatic as any of that
stuff. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Like, you'd almost say the Bear is too dramatic. So I don't know what to do with this.
My
guy.
Wife said the Bear was too dramatic and she noped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Steven Yeun the Beef, but I don't think he's going to make it past the Bear and the Last of Us.
The Beef is so weird, because I want to say the Beef is just an anger romp, but or a revenge romp, but it's not. It's more than that. But I also didn't like the more than that it was. I don't know.
I am relying on your wisdom here, because I didn't see it, obviously.
It's not that they're not good in it. They are. They're very good. It's just that it didn't speak to me. Maybe it spoke to other people. Maybe I'm just a dummy.
Well, you did see Loki. Do you think the work you did on Loki outdoes Yeun and Wong's work on Beef? Their Beef work?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Because they're just angry. They're angry, and I guess they're sad in the end. I don't know. stuff.
So to catch you up, we got Christina Ricci at 1, Sophie Thatcher at 2, Pedro Pascal from The Last of Us, both the previous are from Yellow Jackets, Bella Ramsey from The Last of Us, Jeremy Allen White and Ayo Adebri at 5 and 6, Tom Hiddleston 7, Stephen Young and Ali Wan at 8 and 9. Going to loop back past Juliette Lewis and Sophie Nalisse. Oh, Adrian Brody as Pat Riley.
Speaking of the Brodies, is he going to win a Brody? Are we going to have to name this award after Adrian Brody?
Let me ask you when we should stop going to the top, because I'm sending Adrian Brody to the top.
I have no idea.
Yep. Yep. But I'm saying like this. Sending Adrian Brody to the top.
Right.
Laura Byrne as Demerzel to the top. Chris Marshall to the top.
Her first name is Edo. Weird.
Surely Rin Temple. Rin Schmidt.
Yeah, she's going up. Chris Marshall.
Let's drag her along
to the top, yeah, because
yeah,
she'll get.
Like I said, she really.
Oh man, Juno Temple.
Her joyous performance in the finale of For All Mankind was a big part of why I didn't shit on the finale harder, because boy, they really got away with not killing too many people this season, and my relief at her being the one that they didn't kill really masked some sins there.
Yeah.
And also, like I'm saying, Juno Temple through the top, or yeah. Juno Temple rather through the top. Dot Fargo Amora, season 5.
Devery Jacobs.
It's
a B, right? She doesn't have a V in her name.
I bet that went through on the fucking. I guarantee that went through on the poll though. The survey I sent out. Okay, let's stop there, because like Sally Berry season 4, I don't think they're quite to the top worthy. I'm gonna take all these people to the top. So we just brought Adrian Brody, Laura Byrne, Chris Marshall, Rin Schmidt, Juno Temple, Devery Jacobs to the top. All right, now we're back to Sarah Jason Goldberg as Sally Berry season 4.
So this is the season that I think I liked her the most. And was most impressed by her, but it's still not quite enough to the top her.
I still don't know how I feel about the way this whole thing, like, I really like what they did with Barry. I don't know about Sally. I don't know how they tied up all the plots in that show, but she's fine. She's like, you're right. Probably best season she's done.
Yeah.
I have a hard time advocating moving her up though.
Yeah, me too. I have a floater.
Wait a minute, Jason Sudeikis and Hannah Waddingham.
Oh boy, I know where you want Hannah Waddingham.
You don't
on the
know.
Top.
To the top, certainly.
Right.
Let's keep it respectful now. Come on, talking about Miss Waddingham here. What do you think about Jason Sudeikis? Because like he's, you know, he had that tripping balls and the. What American restaurant? I forget what where he had his epiphany about total
that
football.
Cowboy. Western English restaurant.
Yeah. Man, a lot of Ted Lasso kind of blurs together. I'm trying to think of like which scene where he kind of like had his realization about his mother and father raising him and how he felt about his dad. Was that last year with the therapist, or was that this year?
That was last year.
But I felt like he still had some things he discovered, but like the one that really stands in my mind is the drug episode where he got dosed with super LSD from the bus driver. And
so let me look this up, because he had his visit from his mom this year, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That was the episode. Yeah. So it must have been this year. Ted Lasso. Let me just verify that that's true, but I'm pretty sure. Well, that's season 1. How about season 3?
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause. Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And why Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
Also, Juno Temple probably gets a little bit of a double dip credit for doing two really good roles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's Fargo, best part of Fargo season. Arguably the best part of Fargo season 5.
Yeah, Mom City. Three or four that was a hell of an episode for everybody.
I thought so, too. And Hannah Waddingham, like I said, I think she's fascinating to look at. I really liked her. Was it the Netherlands episode?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The houseboat episode.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the way that paid off. Oh, also that scene where she goes and like BTFOs a whole like table full of rich dudes, the owner's conference. I thought she did outstanding work there. I liked That's how she, all her work against Rupert.
I don't know why Ted Lasso is not the reason I watch this show. Like, he was in the beginning, but they've done so much work with other characters now I want to see them more than him. And I think, but he's still like a big part of it. He's just not the only heart of the show. And so it doesn't seem as important what he's doing.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
He's still, I mean, he's exactly as good as he was in previous years, right?
Should we just top him and then we'll sort him on the second pass?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm also going to throw Natasha Leone as Charlie to the top two. And we just have the comedians. Do we even bother?
Oh, man.
We got to send Glenn Howerton to the top. It always does. That's the real, like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe we need best and dramatic supporting and actor, and then also for comedic, because comedy always gets shit on. We know this. We separate the shows. We throw in the actors in the same pool.
Yep. I'm with you. I think next year is the time. Let's write this down at the top of our document, too.
Yeah, throw that up there. Actually, there's already a Baldy's 2024. Yeah, that's the word to put it. I'm taking Glenn to the top, though, because holy shit.
I don't think it's shared with me. So you need to put that on the list. I will say, though, it might be a small category because maybe we'll nominate more people for comedy.
Oh, we don't have one.
If we separate them.
Here we go. I'm going to create one. Make a copy. Call it Baldy's 2024. Make a copy.
I saw some people asking, why did they put the bear? Well, it was a joke, ultimately, but why did they put the bear in the drama category? When clearly it's a comedy. Like, shout at the Emmys. What the fuck? I know you can submit for whatever you want, but like, that is not a comedy.
It's not a funny show, but it's not a comedy.
Not primarily. I don't know what they were thinking. They were probably thinking we have a better shot, but they were going to sweep no matter where they were. They could have been in documentary and fucking won that.
The way Emmys work, Succession's final year.
Yeah.
And it might, I don't know. I can't say that it's not as, you know, better or worse than Succession because I can't compare them. I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
Certainly in my heart, it's no comparison.
Right.
My God. Like, people can't pay the bills. I can't just shout, go to therapy at the people in the bear.
No, I mean,
all right. So new for this year, what do you want me to write down?
Drama.
You wanted to, oh, yeah. Breakout.
Yeah,
comedic acting and supporting
actors
by comedy and drama. Boom.
Yep, that'll be a lot more fair.
Rulings.
And I don't know how to judge a guy who's been playing the same psychotic sociopath for 17 seasons now. As like, is this an amazing performance? Because I think it is. But reasonable people could disagree.
What are you arguing for?
Glenn Howerton. I'm like, think it's an amazing performance, but it's
yeah, I mean,
it's the same thing he's been doing for 17 seasons.
it's kind of to me that this was Charlie, you know, Charlie Day had that great turn with you know, reconciling with his father in Ireland, where it's like suddenly the show stopped becoming what it is and became something else to kind of let him shine. I think this was Glenn Howerton, except for it was just as funny as anything else I'd seen.
Sure.
Like that Charlie Day thing was like, you know, like that scene was just Charlie being bereft out of context. Wasn't very funny. But like Glenn like, God damn, that's a good episode. Yeah. That is a good fucking episode.
All right. And then Edie Patterson, I really, really love what she's doing as Judy Gemstone. And in a comedy category, she would end up pretty high up there for me.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I was just thinking, like, man, she's really going to get shit on, because I can't even argue to go to the top. Like, we already have, like, just a fucking packed top 20.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be brutal.
Let's go to the top. Is Jason Sudeikis as Ted Lasso better than Glenn Howerton? I say no. I don't know.
The range. See,
this is where comedy.
I know.
This is where comedy, like the Ted Lasso dramedy, is going to beat it just because it's got that splash of drama. There is no like that Charlie Day episode's the first time they ever did anything. Well, I guess Mac explaining being gay to Danny DeVito or to Frank is approaching that kind of level of artistry.
Yeah, via interpretive dance or whatever that episode was.
They have been kind of going for broken finales for a couple of years now. Just this is going for broke comedically, but I don't know, man. Maybe I
think Jason Sudeikis has to rise above Howerton here, because
really,
I mean, Glenn is just Glenn. He's angry and he's a sociopath.
All right,
Jason Sudeikis
we'll
is
try
a lot
it on
of things.
We'll try it on for size here. He's a mustache. He's a mustache and warm-up outfit.
He's not just a mustache. Hey, what's Hannah Waddingham? She's just a dress.
So I think, here, do you think this is crazy? Hannah over Jason?
I think this is a really strong Hannah season. Really strong.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's the thing. It's like Ted Lasso kind of, it's not that she did better work, it's just she had more episodes that allow her to do it. And also, I binged a lot of Ted Lasso, so like these were long fucking episodes.
She also had her Christmas special.
This is true.
Jason Sudeikis barely participated.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I was like starting to get a stink face thinking that he's like he's the only big star that decided to be like, now fuck you, I'm done with Ted Lasso lady.
Yeah. She can sing, can dance, she can act.
Damn it, Jim, there's a whole bunch of shit that you haven't seen. I know you're a big fan of Natasha Lyonne, and
I like her. Very
man, I don't know if she does better work than season one of Russian Doll, but it's very good, and it seems like this is going to be a much easier to extend than Russian Doll. So I don't know. This kind of like Natasha Lyonne style Columbo mystery of the week. The conceit is cool. How she is essentially a person who's kind of indebted to the mob for the stupid reason, and she's got this like remarkable intuition where she can just tell when people are lying to her, and she's forced to flee and roam around the country getting an adventure, staying one step ahead of the gangsters that they're hunting her. It's a great show, and it's a lot of fun, and she's brilliant in it.
Does her character smoke and drink? Because if so, she's not acting.
This is true. It's a lot of Natasha Lyonne just doing Natasha Lyonne things. Husky voice, crazy out of control hair, you know, flawless smoky eye. All right. I don't know what to do with her, because like you haven't seen her, and I thought Adrian Brody as Pat, man, god damn it, winning time fucked us so hard.
We're not judging judging the performance, so
I'm robbed out of getting more Adrian Brody.
Maybe they might do another Predator movie.
Did I not have Larry Bird? Oh, that'd be supporting. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to advocate for stuff you haven't seen.
Right.
And these, like, they're pretty, like, I mean, none of these
looks
are shaky.
Like Pat Riley.
Yeah. I guess he does a little bit, doesn't he? All right, let's talk about so. Chris Marshall.
What about Schmidt. Laura Byrne?
Oh, I skipped Laura Byrne. Okay, Laura Byrne is to the top.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Again, I said this many times last season. I don't know what it looks like when a robot loses its mind and has a nervous breakdown, but somehow every fucking season she nails it.
I don't know what the inability to not love someone is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. Like truly unconditional because it's programmed into your brain love, but she nails it.
Yeah, that there's a lot of horror in this performance.
Yeah.
That one where you find out that, you know, when Cleon the First discovers her in his, you know, the basement of the palace. That's such a strong fucking episode for anyone. Mm-hmm. And then she had tons of great scenes throughout the entire year. She just more like I thought it'd be hard to beat the Halima Zephyr stuff, you know, the walk in the path from last year, but like, man, she just started from there and kept on climbing.
Yeah, the scene she had with the bride to be, I can't remember the princess's name, but fantastic.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thank you for reminding me not to skip over her. Now we got Chris Marshall and Rin Schmidt.
All right. I think Rin Schmidt, we need to shift up above Chris Marshall. She's given the better material and she crushes it.
Plus she's just people who are, I don't know, they're kind of all over the place in how well these characters are playing their age, but Rin Schmidt is nailing old 65 year old lady version of Margot, and
and this is a big crescendo for her character this year. I know that's kind of true of a lot of seasons, but
that silent acting she did when Aleda pulls her into the conference room, they shut the door and you just see her react to the Sergei situation.
Mm-hmm.
Such a fine performance. Much confidence you have in your performance that they can pull that off with like most, like half of their tools tied behind their back.
Yep. The very emotional performances that they both give, Aleda and her, when she realizes she's still alive. She reveals that.
I just forget Rin Schmidt. It's like I completely lose track of the fact that she's not a real person, that she's not this like old lady character.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, totally. Whereas, you know, like a Joel Kinnaman doesn't quite embody it the same
disappear.
Way. Occasionally,
no.
I'll see him hobble down a hallway and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot he's old.
No, but he's acting like an old man. Rin Schmidt is an old lady. She's an old lady.
She just is. Mm-hmm.
Babushka.
She's not. And that's why it's called acting.
So I'm going to take her right underneath Laura Byrne.
I like it. I think Chris Marshall needs to go up, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not happy with where she's at.
I want to put her right around the Hannah Waddingham.
I'm over it. I put her at number three.
I can see Hannah at three.
Boy, we got, I don't know if it's going to stay this way, but we have a female dominated.
Well, we haven't gotten to the Bears cast yet.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, the top four.
Yeah, although AOD, Brie, and Jeremy
actually, eight out of the top 10 right now, if we just stop time, would be women.
Oh, my God. We stacked the deck.
Okay, so
it's woke category. My God.
Let's talk about
Juno Temple.
Juno Temple.
She is the glue for this season, man. I mean, without her being as good as she is, I don't know that I would have even wanted to continue watching this season.
Yeah, there's like four or five crucial roles this year where if any of them were less than stellar, the whole season would have fallen apart. And I think she's at the top of that list, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also the role that really, I guess The Offer I saw a little bit, but like this is the role where I'm like, oh, Juno Temple is not just like a madcap funny face type of character. You know, she's got some bottom, in terms of acting chops to her.
Yeah.
So the question is, I mean, I feel like she's right underneath right underneath Rinschmidt. Nah, maybe above Rinschmidt.
Ooh, above? Man, I'm having a hard time separating her from the actual material, it's which I didn't tough. Think was that good. I mean, I would like for All Mankind wasn't that amazing, but Rinschmidt's material was not the problem in that show.
Yeah, I'd like to see Noah Hawley write for Rinschmidt and see what happens, but...
right.
I mean, I don't
I mean,
know.
Juno's Tim character was three. Not the problem
I might
with that
put
show
her at
either.
Two. Just want
to
leave
yeah,
it there.
Yeah, that's a close one. We might have to revisit this.
It's
going
to take a bear to crack the burn.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. I think, I mean, maybe
spoiler alert. I think we're talking about a Jeremy Allaway category here, but yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Here's another bright rising star, Devery Jacobs, Reservoir Dogs. She had a lot of great episodes this year.
Her and Bear who are kind of the leads in this show. And like, I wasn't always super impressed by Bear. So she kind of is the lone Res Dogs star.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we do have a lot of supporting stuff for Res Dogs too, but we'll see. I want to put her right above Jason Sudeikis. Am I crazy?
You could even talk me into above Hannah. You can even talk me above Chris, maybe.
Well, we'll try that.
I don't know.
See how that feels when we get through the risers.
All right, so now we're going down. We've hit the Yellow Jackets pocket. Do we need to take Christina Ricci or Sophie Thatcher up higher? Like maybe Christina Ricci? Because, man, the dance she did with Frodo Baggins this season was highly entertaining.
I do really love their interactions. But it's just so quirky. That's both a blessing and a curse on this category for me. Because she's not doing anything that's relatable, but she's doing stuff that's interesting and fun to watch. So I don't know. I could see her going as high as... I probably wouldn't put her above 8 at this point. Like, just slightly above Glenn Howerton, maybe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't get her over Jason Sudeikis if she gets over Glenn.
Because it's just the range. I mean, she's asked to do essentially one thing, which is be this weirdo character she developed, which is a great weirdo character, but Jason Sudeikis is doing a lot more dramatic stuff, right? I mean...
Okay.
That's the thing. I do prize drama more than the weird, quirky comedy that she's doing.
Res Dogs definitely has that like dramedy edge too, like even more so than Ted Lasso.
For sure.
God, I hope I fix some of these spelling mistakes in the in the poll. Okay, now we're in the T-Lou era.
Are we going to
Pedro Pascal
or no?
Who?
Christina
oh, I'm
Ricci?
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. You put her above Jason Sudeikis?
No, just slightly below.
Slightly below.
Where I would put her. God. Is Glenn Howerton better? I can't tell. They're both such freaks. Like,
true.
The episode that Glenn Howerton is in, I think, is better than anything I saw on Yellow Jackets, but...
I mean, that's the thing. It is sublime. It's a great comedy episode. And Yellow Jackets was... above average this season, but I don't think it was great even by season one standards.
Yeah, maybe Glenn goes above Christina Ricci because this is his season. I mean, if he's gonna win, he's probably gonna win.
He's gonna get a Baldy. It's gonna be this season.
I mean, he's not gonna get a Baldy because we don't have a comedy category. If we did, he would be a strong contender, though.
Wow. Yeah, wasted this
right?
performance on a pre-comedy division.
But we need to asterisk him.
Scandal,
right?
Scandal. How do we keep having these scandals, Jim? How do we keep having these scandals?
I don't know, man.
All right, so let's do
Sophie
Pedro
Thatcher.
And Bella.
Yeah. So that they're going both going much higher, yes.
Yeah. And I think Bella Ramsey did a tougher acting job because she had to kind of solo an entire episode, maybe two, where, you know, Pedro just laid on a bed. So
they're both
although
going
I guess
real
they,
high.
The fair the turnabout was kind of fair play in the last episode, but I don't know. They both did great job.
Let me throw something out here. Two
because it's
three.
Funny is like Pedro got to do better work when Ella was going through her kind of like shutdown phase and the late season. Mostly she was the big personality and he was kind of, but like when she was really hurt and he was really concerned and he was trying to like, you know, like be more of a dad. I think that's where he really shined and him like coping with the grief of possibly losing a second daughter, to the fucking Fireflies. So it's like, but
he conveyed that fear so well. And not just in the moments where he had big splashy performances, but I think throughout the whole season, he conveyed this fear of losing another daughter.
Yeah.
In how shut down he was. I think it's a perfect performance.
Yeah, him
for
holding
that role.
Her at arm's length was part of that.
Yes. Absolutely. He can't take another hit like that, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's
kill him.
There's just some amazing work on for both of them. I want to put them at 2 and 3. How does that sit with you? And I don't know which is better. Bella or Pedro.
That's okay.
Does that feel
I'm looking
right?
To
like
see
I can't
if anybody. I can't see anybody that we just blew past all the Yellow Jackets, all the Winning Times, the Poker Faces, the Always Sunnies, the Ted Lassos, For All Mankind's. But I mean, it's also like it's they were the best things about a very good show, and that says a lot.
And I can't put them above Laura Byrne because Laura Byrne is doing uncharted territory type stuff. Like, what does it mean to how do you portray that character?
Yeah,
she's mapping those territories and it's really nailing. It's really connecting with me.
I've seen Ellie and Joel types before.
Sure.
I've never seen
Specifically, I've seen them in the video game. Like,
sure.
They're just emulating the performances of
this is true.
Troy Baker and shit.
Yeah, the
woman who died on screen and
yes, the world's most expensive previs.
Yeah, Ellie's
for,
mom.
Dramatic
show. Yeah. So there's that. Oh boy, Aaron,
Ashley Johnson. That's her name.
Yes, thank you. We have a real bear of a character.
We have a real bear
of a
category. Jeremy Allen White just goes to the fucking top.
To the top, number one.
Man,
with a
bullet, he does
in my
the
mind.
Best. He does the best freezer work of any actor living.
Incomparable freezer work.
You lock this man in a freezer, and the fire intensity just burns that much hotter. The lower the temperature,
your food
the more
instantly
intense
spoils.
The combustion.
yeah it doesn't just spoil it cooks you now have to serve all that food.
I mean,
yeah,
this I don't know, this show is just so fucking good. I like there's some every once in a while I watch a show where as I'm watching it I am just intensely aware of how great the thing it is that I'm watching. Like I felt that way when we were watching The Leftovers. You know, just the way it makes these careful connections, the way it pays off character arcs.
The way it makes me feel. I feel every second of the show. There's no other show that I watch where I am just in the room with the characters like this.
And they can go, it can go big and loud. It can go small and quiet. It can be hysterically funny and just soul crushingly sad.
And sweet. Like incredibly sweet at times and simultaneously soul crushing in how sweet it is. Yeah. It's just the complexity of the dish that the bear is serving is incredible. And Jeremy Allen White is a big part of that.
Ayo Adebri fit in to this,
she's out there too,
the
man.
Dish.
Goddamn.
I can't in good
I liked
conscience
her breakdown.
Put her above Laura Byrne.
I think you're right. I do really like the breakdown she has this season and the challenges she's facing. Because that optimism just sort of runs up against reality. And those are probably her best moments this season. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Laura Byrne is doing things I've not seen before. And she's doing them spectacularly well. Whereas Ayo Debri is doing things I have seen before, not quite as well as Jeremy Allen White. She's just not asked to do as much.
Yeah, there's something really true about what they're doing on The Bear, too. That's the other thing, is like, it's very relatable. You know, that's one of the pleasures of watching The Bear, is like, I intensely relate The Bear to like Bald Move early seasons. You know, the scaredness, the intensity, the soaring highs, because it's all new to you. You know, your first sale, the lows, when you think you're going to lose everything. Like, I cannot watch the show without thinking, you know, very much about, oh man, this is entrepreneurship, man, in America, in the jungle.
Yeah, it is. It's brutal.
And trying to run a restaurant, dear God, that's like,
yeah, screw that.
A lot harder than podcasting, man. Okay, now we're back down to Loki. I don't know if we need to revisit any of this stuff, because like, I just think we need to focus up on this top 10.
Yeah, so to me, Loki can't go any higher than number 6. You even wanted to put him there, but I just can't. I mean, maybe he cracks top 10. But there's no way he cracks the top five.
I was thinking about just kind of letting him float down there.
So you're saying he's not going to make top 10. I mean, look, five is like the real nominees here in this category. Yeah. So
Top 10 is a nice honorable mention. I'm trying to think like, okay, so let's focus up. I'm Jeremy Allen White all the way for number one.
Yeah, me too. I
feel real strong about Laura Byrne and as number two. I feel really good about Ms. Adibri at number three. I feel pretty good about Bella and Pedro coming four and five.
Yeah, our top five, I think, is perfect. I'm not seeing anything I would change in the top 10 here.
There's two men out of the top 10, unfortunately, if you want to count it that way. One of them won. One of them's going to win again. Still searching for that elusive first.
I mean, of our nominees, it's...
combined actor category win.
Yeah, as long as The Bear is on the air, it's going to be real fucking hard to crack that nut. I mean...
Yeah.
Look,
yeah, it's like when Mad Men is on, or Sopranos is on, or Breaking Bad is on, and just like, once you know, it's you gotta take this belt,
right?
And did you know that, oh my god, this June we're gonna have House of the Dragon, The Boys and The Bear drops all at once.
That might be the saving grace, actually.
Yeah, we can just have one brutal fucking week that out of June, and the rest will be, you know, relatively easy. Yeah, you might be right, but that's going to be a fucking tough week, man, because House of the Dragon is no joke. Maybe we'll get lucky and Bear will drop early June. I know. And the feedback is insane. I'm hoping the Bear drops early June.
Get it in before House of the Dragon drops. But yeah, man, I can't wait. It's going to be another big ball these years.
They come out exactly a year apart from the first two seasons anyway. It came out exactly in June. Uh-huh. Oh, they come in the end, tail end of June, June 23rd.
Well, they pushed Hadi into summer, right?
Well, late summer instead of early? No, they just announced, the HBO guy said it's going to be in June, just June.
Oh, shit.
That happened like yesterday.
I thought they pushed that. Where are we getting rumors that they pushed it?
I heard late summer too, but... And this, like, I've...
Wow.
This isn't an official like House of the Dragon Twitter announcement. This is just Hollywood reporting that this head of programming at HBO said it's going to be in June.
Is this the same head of programming that was tweeting people nasty grams to
that's a very good question.
Fans of the show.
He might be a clown. Yeah. That's why I'm like, when I start waking up to people tweeting this at me, and I'm like, oh my god, there must like went to like Max and I went to HBO's official, or I mean House of Dragon official, and at the time of me recording this, it hadn't been confirmed, but it's being widely reported that this guy said. So that's not the same thing as, because you're right, everything I heard is sound like it's slipping to late summer, maybe even September, but
yeah,
we'll see. My god, that was a thunderclap that just hit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's getting real dark.
Okay.
Is this
so
Casey Boys guy? Is he the one that said it? Because fuck that guy.
Is that the guy?
Yeah. Okay.
Are we doing breaking news in the middle of this?
Oh, no. Okay. So David Zaslav. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm reading shit while I should be deliberating. Whatever. This is what you pay for.
Wait.
This is the shit you love.
Discovery Streaming and Gaming Chief J.B. Peretti confirmed the release.
Okay, so he's not an asshole, at least as much as I know. So that's it. We did best lead
actor. Actually a woman, apparently, too, J.B.
She's not an asshole, as best I know.
Peretti. Best actor. We're good? We're good with the top?
I think
Top five,
good.
Top five? Sold. What about top 10? I think we need to sweat the top 10 a bit.
Top 10? Good. Sold. Done.
You don't want to get Glenn Howerton up there?
Just make another Sublime episode next year and you'll have your shot in the comedy category, Glenn. Because I know
it
you're listening.
It doesn't sit right with me that he's under Jason Sudeikis, though.
Oh, I mean, it won't matter, but if you want to move him, sure. Move him.
All right. Well, that's best lead actor.